Shalom. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm taking a moment to share some important information about Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're following the leading of the Holy Spirit to purchase a new facility for our congregation in the heart of the Jewish community of Rochester, New York. We've experienced several miraculous confirmations that this purchase is God's plan to make us more effective in our outreach to the Jewish community here. Our previous facility has been sold, and we are meeting in rented quarters until we close on the new facility at the end of 2020. Through the generous donations of our regular attenders, we've raised a significant part of the funds that will be needed to close, but we also need your help. If you've been blessed by our podcast, please pray for us and ask the Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for Congregation Shema Yisrael? If you pray this prayer and do what God leads you to do in faith, we will succeed in purchasing this facility and become much more effective in reaching the Jewish people of Rochester with the life-saving good news of Messiah Yeshua. To participate, please visit shematime.org. That's shematime.org, where you can learn more about this amazing move of God and support us by clicking the donate button. Thank you, and may the Lord richly bless you as you listen to this podcast.
Thank you for your word. Where would we be, Lord, without your word? We are just so thankful. We thank you that not only have you given us your word, but you've given us your spirit to enable us to understand and apply and obey and walk in the power of your word. So we thank you today, Father, that we can take this time, that we can together study your word and look at what it's saying to us. We commit this time to you, Father, and ask you to open up our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to receive, and our wills to obey. And we're just committed to you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So I'm going to be reading from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 24 through 26. V'yedaber Adonai el Moshe, and the Lord spoke to Moses, Lemor, saying, Deber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the sons of Israel. Lemor, saying, B'chodesh hashvi'i, on the seventh month, be'echad, on the first day of the seventh l'chodesh of the month, yihye lechem, there shall be for you, Shabbaton zikaron teruah, a Sabbath of sounding the shofar and shouting for joy. Mikrat Kodesh, a holy assembly. Kol malacha ovada lo ta'asu, all menial, regular work you are not to do. V'hikriv ishei la'adonai, and you're to bring an offering to Adonai, an offering by fire to Adonai. Amen. So we didn't bring an offering by fire, but we did bring an offering. So we're good there. And we're having a holy assembly, which is a miracle because of the way in which our world has been going. And we're going to dig into this a little bit. But first, I thought I'd, as usual, come up with a little Rabbi Irving story. So Rabbi Irving invited his next-door neighbor, Modi, a farmer, to a Shabbat service at the synagogue. Modi made some excuses. He said, well, you know, Saturdays are my busiest day on the farm. So who is going to watch my chickens and my cows? And Rabbi Irving replied, no problem. The Lord will watch and protect everything. So Modi agreed to come to the synagogue for the first time. He was enjoying the service, and then the congregation sang the song, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. Beautiful song, right? How many know that song? And in the middle of the song, Modi jumped up and left. Well, the next day, Rabbi Irving called Modi and asked why he left the service so suddenly. And Modi answered, you see, Rabbi, the people were singing, God's presence was in the synagogue. So I realized he must have left my chickens and cows all alone. So I had to go and take care of them. Okay. So in the scripture I just read, the actual way you would read it in your English translations is a memorial of blowing the shofars and shouting for joy. So today is a memorial. And we need to understand exactly what that means. It's a day to remember. It's a day to remember something and shout for joy and sound the shofar. What do we remember? Well, we're not given a list, but it's very clear we remember the things that God has done, that he's done for us, that he's done in the world. And because Rosh Hashanah precedes Yom Kippur, the day of atonement by 10 days, the 10 days starting with today are traditionally called the Yomim Noraim, the days of awe. And they are God's appointed time for being introspective in preparation for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. So we are to ask God to shine his light on things that we need to change, actions, words, attitudes, thoughts, beliefs, relationships. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, and Ben, if you're able to get that up there, great. And let's give Ben a little bit of thanks here because he jumped in. Dave was having a hard time. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Yami. She tried. All of them were trying, but Ben knew the system better than anybody, so I dragged him over there. Thank you, Ben, for being willing to take it on. So Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of Adonai, the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So fear of the Lord means reverence for him, respect, honor. And fear of the Lord leads to a contrite heart, a heart that is humble enough to be willing to hear and obey the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord is inspired by remembering the great things that he has done. So Rosh Hashanah is traditionally the Jewish New Year, the time of the year when the year changes from 5780 to 5781, and the days immediately following are the days of awe. So this has led me to believe that this custom of having the days of awe is where the idea of New Year's resolutions came from. It actually came from the Jewish tradition of 10 days of introspection leading to change starting on Rosh Hashanah, New Year's Day. So can everybody see that? That's been our custom. You know, New Year's comes in January, and what do? Make resolutions. Well, I believe it came from this Jewish tradition, which is based on the scriptures. So today, we're going to study an amazing promise in God's word that will encourage you to make a Jewish New Year's resolution. Everybody ready for that? It's a little early. You're used to making them in January, but we're going to make a Jewish New Year's resolution. And I promise you this, God promises you this, if you keep that resolution, there will be a dramatic change in your life. Are you ready for that? A change for the good. So first of all, we all understand, I think, that the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom, right? Worldly, natural human principles, cause and effect, don't work in the kingdom of God. For example, the worldly principle says, to get ahead, work hard, promote yourself. The kingdom of God says this, Matthew 23, verse 12, whoever promotes himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be promoted. Just the opposite. That's why it's an upside-down kingdom. So we're going to look at a kingdom of God principle here this morning in an area that affects all of us, every single one of us, and that area is our needs. How many here have needs? We all have needs, right? Rich or poor, young or old, believer or non-believer, all human beings have needs. And the world's way of dealing with your needs is work hard, find bargains, get a good education, consult experts, etc. But Yeshua gave the kingdom of God principle for having your needs met. And he did this when he was speaking to his followers in the Sermon on the Mount. And it is really different from what the world would say to get your needs met. So we're going to take a look at that passage, which I just one of my favorite passages, probably yours in the Bible. It's so beautiful. Starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is Yeshua speaking. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, people's needs for food and clothing was more pressing in Israel in Yeshua's day than it is for most of us hearing this today, right? We live in a time and a place of abundance. Abundance where perfectly good food is donated to us by supermarkets to give away because they need to make room on their shelves for the next day's delivery. And in abundance, where perfectly good clothing is donated by large stores because they need to make room on their shelves. But in a large part of the world today, food and clothing are still pressing needs. So does this apply to us who are living in such a great place? Well, Yeshua added something to that verse that makes this passage applicable to you, even if you are filthy rich. No matter how rich you are, it's applicable to you, because the rest of the verse of Matthew 6:25 says, "Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" So what's he saying here? Life has more needs than food, right? Just let's think about this. You need transportation. You need the ability to communicate. You need education. You need a purpose in life. You need good relationships. You need love. You need skills. You need salvation. You need deliverance, right? And the body has more needs than clothing. You need shelter, obviously, but you also need health. You need recreation, exercise. So his point in adding this last phrase is that this passage applies to all human needs in life, in our bodies, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, all of our needs, this passage applies. And even in the abundance that we live in here in America, we all have those needs, right? Everybody see that? Okay. So, verse 26. Look at the birds flying about. They neither plant nor harvest, nor do they gather food into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? I've got a picture of some birds here that are doing that wonderful, amazing thing that they do, flying in formation. God meets all the needs of the birds for food, for shelter, the ability to fly. And this is just one of those needs, the ability to migrate. And the ability not only to migrate alone, but to go as a whole group. So God meets the needs of birds to communicate, to organize. Look at how he cares for the geese. He flies them south for a vacation every winter. The point is that he created them and he cares for them. So here's the question. Do you believe you are worth more than any bird to God? You are. He created you in his image. The birds are not in his image, right? And here's the big thing. He suffered and died and sacrificed himself for you, for each one of you. Verse 27. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? No, but the opposite is true, right? Everyone knows that by worrying, you subtract hours from your life, right? But you can't even add a single hour. Verse 28. And why be anxious about clothing? Think about the fields of wild irises, or in more traditional translation, the lilies of the field, and how they grow. They neither work nor spin thread. Verse 29, yet I tell you that even Shlomo, Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed as beautifully as one of these. And here's a picture of the clothing of the fields with the lilies of the field. Verse 30, if this is how God clothes grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in an oven, won't he much more clothe you? What little trust or faith you have. Now, that might be a little confusing. We don't throw grass in our ovens, but they must have used the grass in the fields as fuel back in those days. So this verse is using a proof technique that's often used in the Tanakh and in rabbinic writings. It's called a kal vachomer. And what it means, if this, how much more this? If God cares for the flowers, how much more is he going to care for you? If God cares for the birds, how much more is he going to care for you? And if you don't trust that God will provide for your clothing, and so that means all the needs of your body and all the needs of life, then Yeshua says something pretty strong here. You have little trust. You have little faith unless you believe that. Verse 31, so don't be anxious, asking, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or how will we be clothed? And by implication, he's saying, don't be anxious, asking how will all of our needs be fulfilled. In verse 32, for it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things, Your Heavenly Father knows you need them all. Pagans here are unbelievers as opposed to Yeshua's disciples whom he's talking about. And he's saying all human beings, unbelievers, set their hearts on all these things. They seek first, they make meeting their needs their highest priority, the needs of themselves and their families. But your Heavenly Father knows your needs and will provide for you. Not your wants, not your desires, not your dreams, not your hopes, not your lusts, but what? Your needs. For example, you need transportation. You may want a Cadillac, but God might meet your needs with a Chevy. And that's okay. So, how many think this is an awesome promise of God? All of your needs will be met, including emotional, spiritual, all of those needs. But, big but, this promise of God to meet all your needs is a conditional promise. It's a conditional promise. First, you must fulfill the conditions given in the next verse. So, are you ready? Everybody ready? Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Just let that digest a little bit. And then let's dig into some of the words. Seek. What does that mean? Seek. I believe that means make your goal or your purpose in life his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. What does that mean? Make that your highest priority to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, your first goal, your main purpose. And seek what? Two things, his kingdom, which is God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And we're going to look at each of them. And what does Yeshua promise if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? The rest of verse 33, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? All your needs. How else can we understand it, right? I mean, it's very clear. Is anybody confused about this? It's very, very clear. All your needs, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational. Did I miss any? Financial, obviously. Miss any else? Okay, educational, whatever. They're represented by food, drink, and clothing, but they include all of them. So let's take a look at the second condition first. You have to fulfill the second condition. You have to seek first his righteousness. Not just righteousness, but his righteousness. And righteousness is right standing with God, having your sins forgiven, having a personal relationship with God. But Yeshua says you must seek first his righteousness. So there's a couple of ways to understand that. One would be you need to be as righteous as he is. I don't think that works. Anybody here think they're going to be as righteous as Yeshua? So what is his righteousness? It's right standing with God based on what God has done rather than what you have done or can do or will do. It's righteousness based on Yeshua's sacrifice of his sinless life on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And seeking first his righteousness means make it your highest priority to find that right standing with God based on what he has done. And what that means is to do six things, which I'm going to list for you. Number one, recognize you have broken God's laws many times. Number two, take responsibility for your violations by not blaming others or circumstances or making any other excuses. Number three, acknowledge you deserve to pay the penalty of punishment for your sinful disobedience. Number four, humble yourself and repent. Ask forgiveness of God, turn away from sin, and turn to God. Number five, trust that Yeshua suffered and died to pay your penalty for your sin. And number six, receive God's forgiveness for your sins. There's going to be an opportunity to do these six things at the end of the message for any of you who have never done those things. But now let's look at the second condition. The second condition is seeking first his kingdom. Now we already understand that means making it your highest priority to advance his kingdom, strengthen it, enrich it, improve it, protect his kingdom. And the first thing to understand this is the word kingdom. It's a very interesting word because it's a contraction of two words, king and domain, kingdom, okay? So his kingdom is the domain over which he is ruling, or his territory, or his property. And in John chapter 18, verse 36, Yeshua gives a very interesting explanation. It says, my kingdom is not of this world. God's kingdom is not a physical kingdom with a castle and a wall and a moat. It's a spiritual kingdom, and its citizens are all those who submit to the God of the Bible as king in their lives. Now, the other thing to understand about this is that a kingdom is a form of government. Not so prevalent today, but still some still around. But in Yeshua's day, it was the most common form of government. And in a kingdom, the king has absolute what? Authority. Yes. A good king listens to his subjects, but he still has absolute authority. And his subjects in a good kingdom obey him willingly. And if they disobey him, what happens? Even in a good kingdom, there's consequences. There's consequences. So in a kingdom also, the king appoints servants to administrate his kingdom. He gives his servants his delegated authority to help him run his kingdom. Now, when Yeshua left this world, his disciples had been trained to spread, establish, and protect his kingdom, to administrate it. And how did they seek first his kingdom? Well, they dedicated their lives, first of all, to spreading God's invitation to all people to become citizens of his kingdom. But they also strengthened and protected those who responded to his invitation. And to do that, they established messianic congregations all in the towns of Israel and in the cities of the Roman Empire, local congregations. And how successful were they? Well, in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, we read this. These men who have turned the whole world upside down are here. They were so successful because they were following this principle. What were they doing? They were seeking first what? Kingdom of God. They were expanding the kingdom of God. They were strengthening the kingdom of God, those who came in. So God did what? He met all of their needs. And in establishing local messianic congregations, it was interesting to me as I thought about this, they didn't come up with that idea. This wasn't like, oh, let's try this. These local congregations, they had an example to work from. From the time of the Babylonian captivity, the exile, in Judaism, Judaism had developed local congregations in every town in Israel. Every town had a synagogue. We read about it in the New Covenant. And the people gathered in the synagogues where God was worshipped, his word was studied, and they had fellowship with other people. Yeshua visited those congregations. He spoke and he did miracles in those congregations. They were in the towns of Israel. They were congregations all through the Roman Empire after he rose from the dead and his disciples established them. So here's the thing. We, this congregation right here, and many other congregations around the world, churches and congregations that are truly working in God's kingdom, we are the continuation of that seeking first of the kingdom of God of his disciples. Yes, live streaming, YouTube, Facebook are great, but they don't replace the local congregation. So that's kind of the big picture. Now let's apply this personally, individually. Seeking first God's kingdom has really two meanings, one internal and one external. So what's the internal meaning of seeking God's kingdom first? It means seeking first, making it your highest priority to advance God's kingship in your domain, making your life his domain where God rules, making him Lord, making him boss, making him the guide, making him the director of your life, obeying him, cultivating a strong, intimate, personal relationship with him, and allowing the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to grow his fruits in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and following the leading of his Spirit to do your will. This internally seeking his kingdom first is not something we just do for a little while. How long does it last? All your life. This is part of life. seeking first his kingdom inside. Secondly, external, seeking first, making it your highest priority to advance his kingship in the world around you. Now, some of this seeking first can be done by us as individuals alone. We can expand his kingdom by sharing the good news with whoever we get to talk to. And when we do, and a person receives the good news, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, look at how clear it is. It says, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into, what? The kingdom of his dear Son. So every person who makes him Lord becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of his Son. And one way of seeing this is the boundaries of God's kingdom surround the hearts of all who have made him King. Now, individually, you can witness to somebody and share with them and bring them into the kingdom, and that expands God's kingdom. What an incredible honor that is. You can also seek first his kingdom individually by donating, by financially supporting the work of his kingdom. But seeking first his kingdom does not stop with sharing the good news. Every person who becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God must be discipled. They must be taught. They must be prayed for. They must be corrected. They must be loved. They must be given a way to fulfill their destiny. So you can strengthen the kingdom of God by being an example to others or by disciplining a person one-on-one, but believers need more than one-on-one discipling. Yeshua is talking about his kingdom, not a crowd or a class. He's talking about a group with governmental structure, a community, a mishpacha that has structure. So seeking first his kingdom externally also means making it your highest priority to take your place in the organizational structure of his kingdom, joining his team and playing your position in a sports analogy, making your contribution from your giftings. Seeking his kingdom means using the talents he's given you to advance his kingdom within the structure of his kingdom. Teaching others, inspiring others to worship, as our worship team did just here today, administrating, praying, serving in the high-tech area over there, like keeping the slides going, or keeping track of the finances like Elizabeth does, or in menial ways like cleaning the toilets. So seeking first the kingdom of God internally and externally and his righteousness are the conditions that you need to fulfill to experience what? What? Our needs being met. All, remember that, not just some, but all of your needs being met. Your physical needs, your mental needs, your emotional needs, your relational needs, your spiritual needs, your financial needs, all of them, your health needs, all of those things. If you seek first his kingdom internally and externally and his righteousness in the way we talked about, you fulfill the conditions for God's promise to meet all your needs, and you'll be able to obey the next verse. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough surus already. Surus is a Yiddish word for troubles, trials. You won't need to worry about tomorrow because in verse 32 it said, what? Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. You need all those things for tomorrow. So, those of you who are here or are watching online locally, we have an abundance of ways you can externally seek first the kingdom of God, a part of God's team here. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask our ministry leaders, or ask me if there's a way you can start seeking first the kingdom of God by serving here. Don't hold back. If you don't know how to do something, we will train you to do that. And those of you who are watching from a distant location right now, we're going to pray later that the Holy Spirit will show you where you can plug in and be part of a congregation that is establishing God's kingdom where you live. The bottom line, though, in this whole thing is that this requires a change of attitude, a change of priorities, a change in your will, from seeking first your own needs to seeking first the needs of his kingdom. And that's big. That's not small. That's big. So, are you ready to make your New Year resolution, that in the year 5781, you will seek first the kingdom of God, internally and externally, and his righteousness? Because the Bible promises that if you do, he will meet all your needs. Now, let me give you a couple of examples. We have experienced this principle in action as a congregation. And so some of you are not aware of this, and probably people on our line are, but you, so please hang with me, those who've heard how this has happened in the congregation before. Congregation Shema Yisrael's purpose is to seek first his kingdom among the Jewish people here in Greater Rochester. That's why we were established. And several years ago, we came to understand that most of the Jewish people in the area did not even know we existed, much less what we did. So we began to seek first the kingdom of God by praying that God would meet our need to be known by the people we had been called to reach for his kingdom. And here's how God met our needs, every need, needs we couldn't possibly have even imagined meeting ourselves. So 6 years ago, we were asked by Edgewood Free Methodist Church to buy their facility. Where was their facility? In the heart of the Jewish community, right down the street from the Jewish Community Center. Hadn't even crossed our mind ever to buy that facility, but it is a perfect location. Secondly, we needed God's miraculous provision to be able to afford their price. And what happened? An anonymous donation was made of $500,000 to enable us to buy that facility. Third, we needed a buyer for our old building, which we had been trying to sell for years and had been unable to sell. And miraculously, what happened? God sent a buyer. Fourth, we needed to know how to raise the money that we still would need even with the buyer and the donation. And what did God do? God gave us favor with a fundraising consultant that Edgewood had hired and paid a lot of money to. And he offered and did coach us in how to raise the money for free. Fifth, we needed God's favor with Edgewood's board to have them reject a higher offer from another organization. And we got it. Sixth, we needed God's favor to raise the amount we needed in addition to what we talked about. And he gave us favor with donations that I never expected. $100,000 donation, $50,000 donation, $25,000, $10,000, $4,000, all at once. Plus many large donations made over the course of 3 years with some made each week or each month. Seventh, we needed God's favor with a bank to grant us a loan for the rest. And he gave us favor and a great deal from the bank on a loan. And finally, some of you aren't even aware of this. Eighth, we needed God's favor to introduce us to the community around us. And so just last week, we got a call from the Brighton town clerk asking if we would be willing to let our building be used as a polling place. The day after we close, we're closing on the 2nd, and the day after is election day, and a significant portion of the community around us will have to come into our building to vote. So, can you see, all of us who have been a part of this can see it, how this seeking first his kingdom has been fulfilled. As the condition has been filled, he has been faithful to fulfill one thing, need after another, on and on and on, to where just 6 weeks away now, we will actually be moving into that building. Amazing. Amazing. So can you project that on yourself? If you seek first his kingdom, what will God do? Meet your needs. Now, let me give a personal testimony about this, and then we're going to pray as how God has been faithful to me and my family to fulfill his promise to meet our needs as we have sought his kingdom. 24 years ago, I sought first God's kingdom by answering his call to serve here as the Messianic rabbi. I quit my job at Xerox, and I took an almost 50% pay cut to come here. And when I quit, I was able to take with me what I had accumulated as a retirement fund up to that time, over 24 years at Xerox. It was something, but it wasn't enough to retire on. So here's the thing. I quit, took a factor of two pay cut, and amazingly, 24 years later, my salary has hardly increased over 24 years. Two children went through college. My retirement fund has increased by 75%. How could that happen? How could that happen? So that's my personal experience because I chose to step away from industry, step away from my profession, and begin to serve and seek first God's kingdom. Amazingly, He supplied, and there's many other ways. So are you ready now to make a Jewish New Year's resolution to seek first His kingdom? Everybody ready? All right. So pray along with me. Lord, we're going to make a Jewish New Year resolution. We're going to make a resolution to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And we thank You for Your amazing promise that keeping this resolution will lead to You meeting all our needs, physical, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual, financial, every one of our needs. So, Lord, we want to start right now by seeking Your righteousness, not just righteousness, but Your righteousness, to have our sins forgiven and have a personal relationship with You. So we acknowledge, Lord, that Your righteousness is right standing with You based on what You have done rather than what we have done, based on Yeshua's sacrifice of His sinless life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. So we seek first Your righteousness by making it our highest priority to find this right standing with You. And if you haven't found it, just pray along with me. First, we recognize we've broken God's laws many times. Second, we take responsibility for our violations by not blaming others or circumstances or making any excuses. Third, we acknowledge that we deserve to pay the penalty of punishment for our sinful disobedience. Fourth, we humble ourselves and repent and ask Your forgiveness. We turn away from sin and turn toward You. And fifth, we trust that Yeshua suffered and died to pay the penalty for our sins. And sixth, right now, Lord, we receive Your forgiveness for our sins. We receive You as our Lord and Savior. We receive Your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And we thank You, Lord, that we have now sought and received Your righteousness and will walk in it and continue to seek it by continuing to have humble hearts and seeking Your Spirit to correct us, like especially during these 10 days of awe. And now, Lord, we seek first Your kingdom. First of all, by asking You to grow the fruits of Your Ruach, of Your Spirit in our lives. Lord, I need more. We all need more love, more joy, more peace. How many need less peace? We all need more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. Grow those fruits in our lives first, Lord. We seek those fruits in our lives. We commit ourselves to obey the guidance of Your Ruach and Your Word. And then, Father, we also seek first Your kingdom by making it our highest priority to support and serve in Your kingdom outside of ourselves. Show us where You would have us serve, in this congregation or in a congregation wherever those people who are watching live. Equip us, we pray, Lord, to serve. Equip us through training and bring forth the talents that You have given us that maybe aren't being used, or maybe we've used them in our life before, but we don't think we can use them in the kingdom. Bring forth those talents, Father. And Father, I pray that as we serve, we would serve as if we were serving You directly, that You are our immediate supervisor. You're the one that is giving us every assignment, and You will be the one that will hold us accountable and will either praise us or correct us for how we do those assignments. So we receive Your promise now, Lord. We've made this New Year's resolution, And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would remind us of it daily as we go through this new year. We want to continue to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. How many here are willing now to just make a sign to God that you are making this resolution? I just want to encourage you to stand and put your hands up and say, Lord, I am making this. This is a New Year's resolution to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. If you're watching online, you can stand up there too. If you're driving or something like that, don't stand up. So, Father, we make this resolution. We pray this prayer, and we know it's going to be a struggle because it's going to require renewing our minds. It's going to require changing our attitudes from selfishness, from watching out for ourselves, to saying, oh, that's nice, but your kingdom is more important. That's the first priority in my life. And so we pray, Father, for that renewing of our mind. We come against every spirit of selfishness, every spirit of control, every spirit of fear. We break the power of those spirits in our lives. Every spirit of poverty, every spirit of infirmity, we break the power of those spirits over our lives right now. And we declare we are going to trust the Lord. We are going to trust the Lord and serve the Lord. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Father, we trust our needs to you. Just hold out your needs there on your hand and say, Lord, here's my needs. Here they are. Hold them out. Hold them out with your palm up. Okay? And right now, we're going to give those needs to you. Just turn your palm over and give them to the Lord. We give all those needs to you, Lord, because only you can meet those needs. And we believe you're going to keep us from being anxious about them, from worrying about them, from fearing about them. And we are going to be able to rejoice and have your peace in the awesome name of Yeshua, who did what he did to enable all of this for us. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.